You're watching New Sound Wave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Kilby, XV, Lady Rick, Gweebum, with Rob Springer.
Hey, everybody. It's your old friend, John DeLuna. This is New Sound Wave, number 70. Wow, nice. Very nice, guys. We've made it all the way to number 70. Yeah, a big round number, and we're not going to quit either. We're going to keep going until at least 100, and then we'll see. Then we're going to take our chances. We made you something like that.
Then we're going to renumber.
We may vote somebody off the island.
We have to reset.
We will reset. We may shoot somebody on air.
We're going to do Sound Wave.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be like New Sound Wave 2000. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be edgy. Yeah, we're going to add some neon green. It's going to be awesome. With me this week, let's see here. Brian Kilby, who ran off to take a poo, I think.
No, I'm not. I'm just not here. I'm producer this week. I'm not on the show. Just producing.
Yeah, that's his cover story. He's really taking a poo.
Right now, while I'm sitting in front of the computer.
Well, you know.
Wi-Fi. You may have an opening in that chair that we don't know of, sir.
You're a multitasker.
You've not seen the chair. It's actually one of those potties for old people that they set beside of their bed.
Potties for old people.
Right?
Speaking of this, my parents will love this. They're at the age where they invest in stuff like this. So apparently there is a model of toilet seat that is elevated a little bit higher. So older people who can't like bend their knees and like really sit down, there's a model of toilet seat.
We had one of those.
Yeah. My grandfather had one too.
I'd like one of those, you know?
Yeah. I mean, even if you only sit down like 5 degrees less, apparently it means everything to those old bowels.
It may sound good, Rob, but believe me, when you actually have to use one, it's not great at all.
I'm just thinking, you're like standing up first thing in the morning. I'm a little tired, you know, a little groggy. Just I'm already there.
Okay, so once again, if you couldn't tell, this is the video game podcast. like I was saying. Peter, AKKK, Bweebum, Rob Springer, and XV, and me, John DeLuna, are your hosts. And, of course, the very regular Brian Kilby is producing this week. Very nice. Very nice. This week is going to be the Pokemon show. I love me some Pokemon. And I don't know about the rest of you guys, but we'll find out. Pokemon White and Black have been out. They're doing gangbusters, and it's a good opportunity to kind of reflect on Pokemon, which is probably way older than you think. And then we've got some interesting trivia about Pokemon at large, and we'll talk a little bit about Black and White too. But first, the news. Dragon Age 2 came out this week. I was lucky enough to put a little bit of playing time in it, into it, enough to talk a little bit about it. Dragon Age 2, of course, is part of a very, very, very popular series, Dragon Age. I think the first game was probably more infamous for its, how to put this lightly. One of the play features was you could get laid, bro. If you played your cards right, you answered questions correctly, you got in the sack.
That's not so innovative. Japanese dating have been doing that since, you know, like 1980.
Well, how about this one? Is this innovative? You could have relations with a woman or a man. How about that? That is so
I'm sure
modern.
The Japanese trendy. Games have been doing that too.
Yeah, they're probably doing a lot of things like dating games and, you know, the disguised as card games. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Card games with, like, I don't know, fan service and boobage. It makes perfect sense, right? Okay, so Dragon Age 2, like I said, came out this week. Actually, like a day ago from when we were recording. I like to call it Blood, Boobs, and Dragon Tales, to give you kind of a summary. It's got all the stuff that Dragon Age is famous for, the stuff we just talked about. What's kind of neat about Dragon Age 2 is that it's told as a narrative. So, like, this dwarf is telling the story, and so everything you're doing is actually has actually already happened. You're, like, kind of playing out the story, which is kind of neat. You play as a character named Hawk. Male or female, as you would expect, mage, rogue, warrior, you pick your type of character, which really hasn't ever changed in this type of game, which is interesting. It's always like the same, like three or four archetypes. The world that you're in is on the verge of war, not peace, because that would be really boring. The story is about political struggles, but in an interesting way, not like Star Wars. Ha ha ha. Let's see. Unfortunately, the story is kind of linear, but it is entertaining. The biggest problem with Dragon Age 2 that I've found so far in my 4 hours of playing is that the team AI, that the computer AI, pretty bad. It's pretty bad. In fact, you gotta put a lot of work into your team just to get them to be able to survive, to heal themselves and things like that.
Do you remember to tell them to breathe?
Almost. You're like, you know, hey, you're about to die. You might want to heal yourself. You know, so you kind of have to it almost gets to that point. You know, you kind of have to walk them through just, you know, the basics of living. So I didn't play Dragon Age Origins, but this is a really fun game. I did play quite a bit of Dragon Age 1. It's just as fun. So I think the fun factor is a solid 5. If you're a GamePro fan, I'm talking about the guy with his hair going out like this on the red background. Yeah, if you're an old school GamePro fan. The fun factor is through the roof. I'll talk about Dragon Age 2 probably again in a couple weeks with a full review on the full game. But so far, I would give it 2 thumbs up. One thing I wouldn't give a thumbs up to was the Doom movie that starred The Rock. I don't know if any of you guys saw this. Did any of you guys see that Doom movie? It was from 2005?
2005. It wasn't that long ago, was it?
Yep. It was that long ago.
I went to the theaters to watch it on opening day.
When I was in college, they always played these movies on the movie channel, and they would be just brand new movies that would just be a continuous run of movies, and I saw it there.
Awesome. I took my Game Boy Advance, which had the Game Boy Advance version of Doom in it, and was playing it this is going to be a Doom kind of day. And I went to Steak and Shake after I don't think I can play this anymore.
It broke your spirit.
Very mad. I was very upset. And I was like, you know what? I don't expect this to be an exact adaption. I just hope it'll be a fun movie.
Sorry, Rob.
You know what? I rate it 1.
Oh, that is awesome. Okay, so yeah, it only gets 1 fart from Rob. Minute. And Rob's got 20 farts in that ass. So, I mean, he's really holding them. Okay, so, yeah, that movie.
How do you move on from that?
Well, we'll move on by remaking that movie. How about that, just for Rob? They're going to try to earn, at least 3 farts out of you. So Tomb Raider is not the only game to film that's getting a reboot treatment. In fact, this site called What's Playing claims that Universal is planning, of course, a 3D version of the Doom franchise, a complete rebooting that will ignore the events. That's the biggest insult to a movie, when you have the reboot ignores the events of the 2005 movie starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. They claim that the Doom reboot is in early stages of development. They're looking for a writer. So I would call that early stages of development, all right?
They're almost 3/4 done.
That's probably true. They're probably shooting next
week.
Ready
for a writer. They're 3/4 of the way through producing that movie.
Yeah, probably.
A reboot's a reboot, right? It pretty much, it does ignore everything that's previously happened.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they claim, I guess sometimes a reboot and a reimagination or a heavily overdone or reworked sequel or prequel could be called a reboot, but yeah, this seems like a complete total do-over, which, thank God. I don't know if Doom will work as a movie. You would think it would probably work as a movie. I mean, it seems pretty.
No, not really.
I don't know. I mean,
I thought Event Horizon was the best Doom movie they could have made, and it wasn't very Doom-like. But if they made a sequel to Event Horizon, that was the Aliens version where they're all coming out of everywhere and you got to shoot them dead, that would be Doom the movie.
Let's see here. What else? Oh, the interesting tidbit in the story is that apparently one of the answers to the question, of course, why is because the success of Paramount's G.I. Joe movie, apparently that the success of that movie is what piqued interest in doing Doom again for whatever reason. So
because G.I. Joe is completely analogous to Space Marines.
Yeah, because, and also, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the Joe movie not do that great.
I mean, it did good enough that they made a sequel.
Yeah,
well, so the sequel only have three characters. If you read the reports,
you know, they got to the point where they hired the director of the Justin Bieber movie. So
yeah,
that's gonna be awesome.
We're just gonna have Duke, Snake Eyes, and Storm Shadow. Everyone else is fired.
Yeah, you know, really though, what they should do is make the sequel based on G.I. Joe Extreme.
Nice. Actually, in the chat, Omega Supreme 1 suggests that G.I. Joe the movie was very successful. Could be, possibly. I'll look up some numbers in a minute. Let's see here. Okay, so, but first, a couple of stories on the PlayStation and Microsoft's Kinect. Actually a price cut maybe on the 360, and then we'll get into the topic Pokemon Mania. Okay, so PS3 is apparently starting to roll out cloud storage, which is interesting. Sony will soon allow PlayStation 3 owners to back up their system, their game saves, to online storage, allowing players access to their save data from any PS3, which is kind of neat. The feature will be available as part of a system update this week, which will probably take half an hour to 6 hours to download if you're familiar with a PS3, possibly in just 3 days of download time, you will be able to save to your cloud. You have to be a PlayStation Plus subscriber to access this. Yeah, so it's not quote-unquote, you know, free.
How much is PlayStation Plus again?
Too much for me. I assume
isn't it basically the same as an Xbox Live subscription?
I think it's
$5 a month.
Yeah, something like that. Less than $10 a month.
City a year.
Oh, nice.
Can you get like subscription cards for a good price or something? Or
I don't know. Why don't you try eBay? I've had really good luck on eBay lately. So let's see here. Let's see if there's any other tidbits. Okay, so Sony says that up to 150 megabits. Of game save data can be stored, and a maximum of 1,000 files can be stored. Why would you need 1,000 files? Okay, and let's see here. Of course, copy prohibited save data is also supported, and all previously backed up save data can be restored once every 24 hours. Breaking news. We have financial information on the G.I. Joe movie. Ask and you shall receive. So the G.I. Joe U.S. gross was about $150.2 million, but that's good, but the budget for the movie was $175 million. However, there is a happy ending to this story. Yeah, sad trombone, until you factor in the worldwide numbers, and the worldwide numbers were about $302 $0.5 million. So it doubled its money worldwide, if you can count worldwide. It did not make money in the United States. Now you counter that with Revenge of the Fallen. It wasn't exactly a close race, I'm just gonna say, just gonna warn you. So Revenge of the Fallen made over $400 million with a $200 million budget, and worldwide, Revenge of the Fallen made well over $830 million. So over twice what the poor G.I. Joe movie made. One of the interesting things that I'll probably look up, this will be an interesting conversation, maybe for next show, or you know, just a footnote to this show. I wonder how much Hasbro made off of each movie, because I know the agreements were pretty different for each movie. Hasbro didn't invest a whole lot into the Transformers movie. I think they funded a lot of the G.I. Joe movie.
For Transformers, they paid. They were paid none, and they received none.
Yeah, way to go!
But they were able to, you know, they did like the licensing. They made all of their money from the toys and the licensing. You know, they would get Transformers coins and Pez dispensers and all that other fun stuff.
All the good stuff. Pez. Okay, so the Kinect is popular, buddy. Microsoft announced this week that it has now shipped 10 million Kinect units worldwide to retailers. Now, that doesn't mean that all 10 million units have been sold to consumers yet, but they've been shipped to retailers since its launch just in this last fall season in November. So the company said that it shipped over, like I said, 10 million first and third party software titles to date as well. Game industry analyst Michael Packer has updated his predictions for console price cuts, which we're all interested in. And he anticipates that a price cut will occur this year. He expects the 360 price cut to come at E3, PS3, and Wii. Price cuts may follow quickly afterwards. So how much of a price cut are we talking about? His report predicts that Microsoft will likely capitalize on the success of the Kinect, like we just said, very popular, by dropping the price of the 360, the core 360 bundle, to under $300. And he's actually really confident this is going to happen before the holiday season, and that all three consoles will be at least $50 cheaper than they are at this second, which may force me to finally buy a 360 and play with actual gamers, not just more suckers like me on the PSN network.
But you can play with JD.
I could play with JD playing, I guess. I need to ask him what he plays on PSN, because I like fighting games and he likes MMOs. And there's no
fighting game. Doesn't Triplet have a PS3 too?
I don't know. I can check. He does. We could have like the best like two-man Marvel versus Capcom 3 tournament ever. It'd be like a double elimination two-man tournament. It would be all of awesome. It'd be the most exciting 15 minutes you've ever seen.
Yes.
Okay. So this brings us all to Pokemon. Pokemon is a very hot topic again in the news, because Pokemon Black and White is doing gangbusters. Nintendo said today it has sold more than 1 million copies of Pokemon Black and White in the U.S. in just a day.
Holy crap!
According to their internal sales numbers, which, I mean, there's really no reason to embellish those too much because they're easily verified. So we can kind of, for the most part, trust Nintendo in saying that they've sold 1 million in a day. On launch day of Pokemon Black and White. So Pokemon's not going anywhere.
Nope.
The new title has shattered the previous one-day record, and that was held by Diamond and Pearl back in 2007. They sold about 780 units on their launch day. Nintendo has said that... 780K on their launch day. These sales numbers, according to Nintendo, say... Nintendo says they illustrate the continued strength of the Nintendo DS family of systems. Don't they really kind of illustrate the strength of Pokemon more than anything?
The strength of every Nintendo portable system they've ever been on.
Technically, I guess they've been on virtually all of them. And then they also go on to say, already established as the nation's best-selling video game platform of all time, the installed base of 47 million people jamming on a DS make it an ideal handheld for developers, obviously, because you can sell 1 million freaking copies of Pokemon in a day if you put it on the DS. So I figured this would be a good topic for this week to kind of celebrate and dig in to Pokemon. I'll run through some trivia, guys, and feel free to chime in. I don't know how heavy Pokemon players you guys are. I was a really heavy power Pokemon player back in the day.
I've got over 80 hours on my original blue cartridge.
See? There you go. XV, have you gotten subsequent games, haven't you? Or have you not?
Up through Diamond, yeah.
Nice. I love Pokemon. I think I'm going to get White, because if you buy White, you get the black mystical Pokemon. If you buy black, you get the white. Anyway, you get what I'm saying? It's kind of confusing. Pay close attention to the box art if you're going to buy one, buy one of the games. So the game, the franchise is almost 15 years old. First game launched in 1996. We are old. It came out on the Game Boy. It was red, green, and blue. As XV said, he's logged 80 hours on blue. Have you gotten all the Pokemon on blue, by the way?
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. So it wasn't 80 hours in vain. It was 80 hours. Yeah. Productivity. Okay. And then
sure,
so many
we'll
more
go
games.
With that.
Yeah. I mean, you're making progress. And then so many more games on the Game Boy Color, the Game Boy Advance, and the DS. By the way, it's always hotly debated what's your favorite Pokemon or what was your favorite character, actual Pokemon. Mine was Charmeleon. I'm an old school guy. I'm just going to say that. And it was Charmeleon before like they evolved into the ultimate form, the third form. By that time they got, a little too aggressive. I liked the cutesy, chibi, original three. I don't know. I think they're awesome. Also,
Gengar.
Did I miss that? Yeah. Oh, nice. Or Gyarados. Remember that? Gyarados was like the big monster back in the day. Let's see here. Of course, Pikachu. Chat loves Pikachu and Dragonair. How nice.
Bulbasaur. I always favored Ampharos in Pokemon Gold.
Nice. Good stuff. Well, back in the day, of course, there were 150 Pokemon in the first games. Nice round number. Today, all told, there are 649 Pokemon. That's all total.
Does that count missing, though?
I don't know. You're getting real geeky. That's funny. The chat points. Points out that it was actually technically 151.
Yeah, Mewtwo, right?
Yeah. What was the 100? Yeah, Mew. It was Mew, the 151st Pokemon.
Which you couldn't actually legally get in Red and Blue.
Yeah. Yeah, legalities. Anyway.
Oh, Mewtwo is 150. Okay, I'm sorry. Wait, that doesn't make any sense.
Don't think about it too hard there, Peter.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Just have fun. Just find him. For God's sakes, just collect him. Don't ask why. Just get him. Like I was saying, to date now, there's been almost 649 Pokemon. We've had games not only on the Game Boy, of course, but Nintendo 64. We had Nintendo 64 that was shaped like Pikachu. How about that?
Was it Pokemon Snap?
Yeah, we don't need to talk about
Pokemon
that.
Snap.
Pokemon Snap.
Yes. Again,
I think what people think of most on the 3D front is the Battle Arena games.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Pokemon Battle Arena was actually pretty fun. At least it was fun to watch.
And you could interface with the blue and the red, right? Somehow.
Yeah. They interface with the Game Boy cartridges, so you can use your own Pokemon in the Battle Arena.
Awesome.
That's good stuff. Hey, the TV show is also 14 years old, more or less. It's going into its 14th season.
Yeah.
Simon, they're on 3DS nuts.
Yeah. Nice.
And every season's just like the first one.
It absolutely is.
That's still going on, is it?
Yeah. Well, basically, Pokemon is The Simpsons, except with little monsters.
Yeah.
Characters.
Ash still learns something new every episode. If you're at this one, he's like, yeah, whatever.
Wait, Ash is still around?
Yeah.
And he's still 10 years old.
What the hell?
Officially, in dialogue, he is still 10 years old in the most recent series.
It's a different voice actress, though, right?
Yeah, they changed. Dubbing company changed about 5 years ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They got a lot of sound alikes, but I mean, you can tell they're different.
How I'm sort of jumping in here. How's the quality? Because I have never played a Pokemon game, but I sure as hell watch the cartoon every
well,
afternoon.
Well, the art quality's gone up, of course.
Yeah,
the game
I really like cartoon too.
I haven't played since Red. I don't think it actually worked anymore on the old Game Boy Classics anymore after that. So. I mean, the gameplay was phenomenal. I think it was great.
No, you could play Gold and Silver on an original Game Boy. That was the last one that you didn't need a color or better for.
My only exposure to Pokemon, other than the cartoon, I actually created a Pikachu hate site because I hated Pokemon to begin with. I was one of those people that just was disgusted by the concept of it until I actually watched it. But it was called The Many Deaths of Pikachu. After I did it, there several more popped up, but mine was the original. I had a lot of, like, just the most absurd ways that Pikachu would die. I would just make them into animated GIFs. Like, Pikachu, just all of a sudden, his top of his head flying off and then blood splattering. It was pretty great. I need to put it back up.
No, bring it back.
Yes.
You know, I like the Pokemon Ranger games better than the standard ones, but they're still really good games.
I mean, it's just Pokemon Mystery Dungeons.
Those are great. Ranger is really fun just because of it really takes a departure from the standard Pokemon game, which is, you know, your, you know, regular Pokemon and Mystery Dungeon are your standard role-playing type games. Just instead of weapons, you get Pokemon to use for different things, and that's your party as well. But the Ranger ones, they work different. They're more, they make me think more a 90s PC role-playing game where you use your stylus to do everything. It's like a point-and-click type game, and when you fight them Pokemon, you got to draw circles around them, but you got to do things like select other Pokemon to fire, use powers on them, and it's a different play mechanic that's I can't get enough of for some reason. It's a little simplified, but hours and hours just sitting there. Great game.
So, John and Rob, do you have either Pokemon Gold or Silver cartridges still?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Does the memory still work in them?
Oh, I'm afraid to find out.
I don't know.
My memory in my head still works, so I'm going to hold on to that. And
I hope there's so.
That's going to last longer.
I dug out my Pokemon Gold cartridge a while back, and sad trombone moment there. The save data had all been lost when the battery died.
It's sad. Yeah, not the best idea. Not the best, you know, not the best idea.
What's a fun bit of trivia about a Pokemon Game Freak, the guys who make it? Started off making zines about arcade video games. That's what Game Freak was their zine.
Really? Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
And speaking of magazines, I actually have somewhere among my clutter I think it was the E3 issue of Nintendo Power, which from early 96, which had the first mention of the Pocket Monster series.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Good stuff.
I actually put together that was Pokemon a couple of years later, that was like, oh, hey, cool.
I never would have saw it getting as big as it was. I remember when it was first coming, I was like, okay, that's cool. This is a fun video game. And then, you know, I noticed the cards were coming. I was like, okay, this is cool. There's a fun cartoon. This is cool. Next thing you know, it's like a phenomena for like a while. It's like,
yeah.
You go to the mall.
Cars.
I don't think the cards took off as much as the as Yu-Gi-Oh did, though.
No. But it was, I mean, it was like part of the merchandising craze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Started. Yeah. Like the Volkswagen Beetles with the tail and all that stuff.
Ridiculous how popular Pokemon became so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of course, there was a Pokemon store in Times Square for a while. Mm-hmm. It was everywhere.
Yeah. I would argue the cards are more popular here than the games were, because they were, I mean, there was a little card shops popping up all over the place around here just to sell them. And, you know, it's like, I like the Game Boy games, but I've never really cared about trading card games. And I remember a friend of mine, this is a Rob story, a friend of mine started working at a trading card store. And, of course, when your friend works at a comic shop trading card store, you can just go and hang out for hours without doing anything. And it had couches and video games. I'd go and bring my Game Boys, and we'd all sit around and play Pokemon or whatever. And, of course, the store's claim to fame, when this millionaire kid bought it, the claim to fame was Pokemon and Magic cards. And Pokemon kept that store in business. Well, when the Pokemon craze crashed and the cards, the only thing I was selling was the video games that you could get at any Walmart. I helped them scout Pokemon cards from Walmart and Toys R Us when they'd have sales on cards. We'd go and buy them and put them in the store, by the way. when the Pokemon thing crashed, the kid who was a millionaire who bought the store was now out of a lot of money because he wasn't making rent anymore. And as you know, when your business doesn't even pay for itself, you got to shut it down. The store mysteriously caught on fire.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
It was Charmeleon.
Well, my friend was allowed to smoke in the store, and he blamed it on he cleaned the glasses cases, and he threw his ashtray into the same thing, and he said he guessed the chemicals. There's a hot ash or something still, which caught everything on fire. I mysteriously got a copy of Sonic Adventure from that store before it burnt down. I was like, hey, why am I getting all these video games for free when you're emptying out the store? Because he was emptying out the cash register and stuff. We had beer parties on the store, by the way. the millionaire basically,
professional establishment.
The millionaire literally told my friend if he'd burn it down, he'd give him several, I think about $200,000. So that was, he burnt down the Pokemon card store. And then the guy never paid him.
Oh, no.
He never paid me. I'm thinking about going to the cops. Well, you're in just as much trouble as he is for insurance fraud. Shut up.
I have one speed. I have one gear. Go.
And we all
Actually, I want to insert one Pokemon related thing.
Mm.
I'm actually sitting here and I was watching the Pokemon. I don't think you guys mentioned it. The Pokemon seizure video from Japan.
Oh yeah, awesome. That's still online.
Kind of get sidetracked off the trivia thing.
Yeah, and okay, so Peter, there's an episode of Pokemon in Japan where Pikachu was dancing and the lights were flashing in a way that caused a lot of people to have seizures. And I'm not prone to seizures. I'm not epileptic, which that doesn't mean you can't have seizures. But right. I was just watching it and immediate eye strain. Obviously, you know, in your line of work, just like mine, you sit down in front of a computer for hours and your eyes have hurt. It was immediate. Just like I've been sitting in front of a desk for 7 or 8 hours staring at a screen.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've never experienced something like that before. If you're not prone to seizures, I suggest you do it, just for the novelty. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, and the chat actually describes it quite well. So it was Team Rocket firing a missile, Pikachu's lightning strikes the missile, and chaos ensues. So a bunch of like rainbow flashes.
Remember this now. Yeah, that's right.
What made that
big news?
What made it funny was this happened on this cartoon. All these kids had seizures, right? So they're talking about it on the news, and then they're showing the clip again on every news channel.
Yes.
The channel. It's like the kids. You know, maybe about what a couple of thousand kids had a seizure. Thanks to the news, how many millions of people had seizures?
It's awesome.
They're like, they could just show a random clip from the show and explain an explosion happened and caused seizures. Instead, they're like, make sure you all tune in to get a seizure.
Interesting.
On that happy note, Pokemon's had a lot of fan fiction over the years. Why don't you tell us about that, John?
It sure has. To close out this story, I will relate some interesting and maybe maybe interesting is not the right word. So like I said, the TV show is in its 14th season. Pokemon has also had a very healthy history of written literature. And fanfiction.net alone hosts over 3,300 mature rated Pokemon stories.
Did not know they could do that.
So, yes. Oh, Rob, they can do anything. So, yes. Pikachu. Pika Pika.
Oh, is that lady from Team Rocket and the Misty?
No.
I tell you. Oh, no.
No, we'll I don't think it involves many humans. I don't think they involve any humans. I think it's a lot of Pekin. Yeah, a lot of Pika and a lot of Chew. Okay, so the first batch of games,
Pikachu,
had a character called Jinx. Jinx was apparently, looks like a mime, but to some people, he looked more like a racist stereotype of black people. So
no, the mime one was Mr. Mime. Jinx is
It's Mr. Mime. Jinx was who? What Jinx look like?
Jinx is the racist stereotype one.
Kind of looks like a racist stereotype of a black person.
Yeah, I guess I just described him. So, yes. Yeah, so even weirder, fundamentalist Christian groups linked Pokemon to Satanism based on the use of evolution, along with gambling and pagan worship. Right. Yes.
I remember that. Hey.
And did I mention the 3,300 mature rated Pokemon stories on fanfiction.net?
Not enough, no.
Not enough. We will not be linking to those if you're going to ask. You can go find them yourself. I'm sure they're easy enough to find. I'm sure if you Google Pokemon erotica, God help you, sir. God help you. The moral of this story is Pokemon's awesome. Pokemon is super popular to this day.
To its detriment.
To its detriment, yes. To all of our detriment. that these fans, the second these original fans hit puberty and gained the ability to write long fiction, The world was doomed. The world was doomed. So I think that wraps up our conversation on Pokemon. Fun stuff, good stuff, guys. Like I said, Pokemon has never been hotter. Apparently, a million copies of Pokemon Black and White sold in the U.S. on launch day, which blew away the 2007 record. Pokemon Rock On. That will do it for New Soundwave number 70. For Rob, for Peter, for XV, for the voice of God, also known as Brian Kilby, the producer, our fine producer.
Oh, as if his ego's not big enough already.
I know. He is going to sign us off because that is, like I said, New Soundwave 70. Have a good week, guys. We will see you next week for New Soundwave 71.
This has been New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Kilby, XV, Lady Rick, Dweebum, with Rob Springer. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. Like the podcast? Tell your friends. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.